Hello, this is Lara Egan, who's going to talk about the scientific workshop Cancer in IBD. Larry, apart from colorectal cancer, what other cancers are IBD patients predisposed to?
Well, there is quite significant evidence that patients with Crohn's disease affecting the small intestine are at increased risk of adenocarcinoma of the small intestine. The adenocarcinoma of the small intestine is a cancer that's very rare in healthy individuals, and some studies have estimated that individuals with Crohn's disease have a relative risk increase for adenocarcinoma of the small intestine of more than 40-fold compared to people unaffected by Crohn's disease of the intestine. However, even in patients with Crohn's disease, small bowel adenocarcinoma would be considered to be exceptionally rare. Other cancers, individuals that have had restorative proctocolectomy with formation of an ileoanal pouch are at increased risk for the development of cancer in the cuff of rectal mucosa at the bottom of a pouch, in the case of stapled anastomosis, and also in the pouch itself, so-called pouch cancers or dysplasias. Again, those cancers are quite rare, and most patients with pouches don't develop any complications like that. The other big cancer which a fraction of IBD patients are predisposed to would be cholangiocarcinoma of the bile ducts in those individuals that have coexisting primary sclerosis and cholangitis, which is about maybe 1 to 5% of the ulcerative colitis population in particular.
Okay. And what is known about the pathogenesis of colorectal cancer in IBD?
Well, this is a very interesting question, and it's been the subject of a lot of intense investigation. We know that colon cancer and IBD is an adenocarcinoma, it's an epithelial cancer, and we know that the chronic inflammatory stimulus in patients with IBD is really an immune type of phenomenon. So something with the immune inflammatory infiltrate in patients with colitis is driving neoplastic transformation of the epithelial cells. A number of factors have been elucidated. There are important roles for a transcription factor NF-kappa-B. There also are important roles for the transcription factor STAT3 in intestinal epithelial cells. And at the level of mediators and signaling, there probably is an important role for tumor necrosis factor alpha and interleukin-6. But really, I think a lot more needs to be learned about the effect of the chronic inflammatory environment on chromosomal instability, epigenetic changes, and other factors that are involved in colon cancer pathogenesis.
And what is the best strategy to manage the risk of cancer in the ileoanal pouch?
Again, this is a controversial area. If you draw an analogy with the surveillance that we do in patients with colitis for colorectal cancer with surveillance colonoscopies, chromoendoscopy, random biopsies, targeted biopsies, etc., one could apply a similar paradigm to the pouch. However, like with surveillance for colorectal cancer in colitis patients, it has never been established that doing any kind of pouch surveillance really does the patient any good in terms of prolonged survival or preventing the development of cancer. So the evidence in support of any sort of surveillance program is not the highest quality evidence. Nevertheless, there are certain patients with ileoanal pouches who appear to be at especially increased risk of developing pouch cancer. Those are individuals with chronic unremitting pouchitis. Those individuals who on biopsies have got so-called type C or atrophic changes in the ileal mucosa in the pouch. Individuals who had pre-existing neoplasia, in the colon, before the pouch was made. Those individuals are at especially high risk of developing pouch cancer, and there is a good rationale to survey those patients. The optimum surveillance strategy is also not known, but it probably involves doing pouch endoscopy with quadrantic biopsies annually or semi-annually.
And how are small intestinal strictures best assessed for malignancy?
Again, this is a very difficult area. The vast majority of small bowel adenocarcinomas are only discovered on histological analysis of resection specimens. So obviously many patients with Crohn's disease develop in particular terminal ileal strictures, and even a surgeon when they're operating can, it's not often obvious that there is a cancer there. So I think as many as 90% of small bowel cancer is only discovered at the time of surgery or on analysis of the resected specimen histologically. There is a lot of interest in the idea that endoscopic sampling of ileal strictures, either via colonoscopic route or through double balloon enteroscopy, might enable the preoperative diagnosis of small bowel cancer. And PET CT, of course, might have some potential as well. But even inflammatory strictures will sometimes show up hot on PET CT, so that needs more evaluation still.
And finally, do IBD drugs affect the risk of cancer?
Thiopurines, azathioprine and 6-mercaptopurine, have been quite strongly associated with a number of opportunistic malignancies. The malignancies that are associated with the use of those immunosuppressant drugs are ones that are in which there is a strong pathogenic role for oncogenic viruses. So lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, especially driven by Epstein-Barr virus reactivation, appears to be more common in patients taking thiopurines than not. Again, the absolute risk is probably increased 3 or 4-fold, the relative risk is increased probably 3 or 4-fold, but the absolute risk would be still on an individual patient would be quite low and would be stratified by their age and gender. Non-melanoma skin cancers are probably also a little bit more common in patients taking thiopurines. Other drugs, the role is quite a bit less clear, but the anti-TNF biologics have been in some studies implicated in the pathogenesis of lymphomas. But again, this is very controversial and not at all a proven point.
Thank you.